we extend a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In a day where there are so many bad influences which affect our children, God's Word says very clearly, don't forget to evangelize your little ones. That's what we're going to talk about in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as we read through the Scriptures, we see your concern for the children. You took them up in your arms and blessed them. You told us to look at a child, and you said that unless we become like one of these, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You warned us that if we as much as caused one of these little ones to stumble, it would have been better for us if a millstone had been put around our neck and we had been thrown into the depths of the sea. Lord, with such words, we pray today that you will continually remind us not to forget our children in raising them in the Christian faith. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the Word of God as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 2. Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thank you. Friends in Christ, when Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," he invited these brothers to become a part of his 3-year training program that would prepare them to be his witnesses in all parts of their world. In teaching them the basics of sharing the faith, Jesus said, "And don't forget the children." This is where I would like to center our attention in the sermon today. Children have always had a prominent place in the Word of God. Moses was instructing Israel, and this is what he said, "Hear, O Israel, these commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. You are to impress them on your children." Now, isn't that a beautiful picture? A Jewish home, and now Moses is telling the fathers and the mothers, you are to impress upon your children the commandments of God. He goes on, "Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road." Or if we were to put it in our terminology today, talk about God's word in your home. And when you're riding in an automobile and you don't know what to talk about, shut off that radio and talk about some of the things of God. He goes on, "When you lie down and when you get up, talk about the things of God. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead." In other words, always have a reminder of God's word before you. And finally, he says, "Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." In other words, have some pictures around reminding you of God and his relationship with you. So Moses says to the people of Israel, don't forget the children. Teach them God's word. Hundreds of years later, a wise old man by the name of Solomon shares his wisdom with Israel, and he says, train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we have had plenty of experience to see the truth of this statement. I think, for example, of a good friend of mine who had been trained in the Christian faith as a child, had gone to confirmation classes and had learned the basics of the Christian faith. Then World War II came, and he found himself a soldier in the Pacific. There on the island of Saipan one day, he had nothing to do. Things were quiet. There was nothing to read, but he got into his duffel bag, and there he found his New Testament. It was during that time that so many of the things that he had learned as a child began to come back into focus. Well, they had gotten out of focus for some time in his life, but it was there that this man made a great decision. He rededicated his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and decided when he got home, he would become a pastor. When he found his way into the seminary, he began to understand that there was a lot of illiteracy as far as the Word of God was concerned. And so he decided that after his ordination, he would try to find his way to a church where they would permit him to study the Word of God and to develop some kind of a Bible study that would help some of this illiteracy. This man did that. And from it has come the Bethel Bible series. Many of us still use that series to help our people understand the overview of God's holy word. In the church where I now belong and where once I served, we began that Bible study in 1962. Courses are still given in the Bethel Bible series in our church in 2003. In other words, train a child in the way that he should go. And when he is older, he'll not depart from it. That's a promise from God. And now today in our text, Jesus says, he called a little child to him. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, these children are real examples of the faith. Therefore, who humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. In other words, you hear the clear sound of our Lord Jesus saying to individual Christian fathers and mothers, and certainly to the Church of Jesus Christ, don't forget the children in your evangelizing. Well, we could ask the question, who are these children? And certainly one would come up with this thought, well, they're the children who live in parts of the world where the gospel is not proclaimed for one reason or another. And so we send our missionaries and have been sending them for years to the far away mission fields. They come back and give us some encouraging reports on what is happening on those mission fields, both among the young and the old. They tell about how people hunger for the word of God. And so we are taken seriously when we send our missionaries abroad, what Jesus told us to do, go and tell the story, and today, don't forget the kids. Our missionaries have given us some real encouragement on that, and pray to God that we will be zealous in our world mission endeavor. Where else are these children to be found? They are to be found in America, where they are surrounded with churches, but they know little about Jesus. Can you imagine it, friend? A gentleman who was a professor at the University of Northern Iowa came to my office one day and sat down and talked about the Christian faith. He told me that all through his childhood and his youth, he had never been to a worship service. I'm sure that he had never been to a Sunday school, never to a vacation Bible school, never invited to a confirmation class. And yet there surrounded him churches of all kinds. Sure, these are children who are coming from homes where the parents are unchurched, have no relationship with God. They might have had some kind of a relationship when they were a kid, but they have walked away. God has given them these children, and they haven't really taken any time with them, spiritually speaking. Otherwise, they might be very good parents. Mothers and dads sometimes will say, well, you understand, we are not a religious family. We are not going to force any religion on our children. If they want to, when they get old enough, they can make up their minds, and depending on who they marry, perhaps, they will or they will not go to church. But we're going to let them grow up and make that decision. Really kind of sad, isn't it? We're going to wait and let them grow up before they decide whether they want to do certain things in life that are almost a necessity. But that's where some of these children come from, and they're right in our neighborhoods. It's pretty sad, but we have some great stories about these children when the church does take the initiative to invite them into their Sunday schools and other activities. The greatest professor I think I have ever had in theological seminaries was the Reverend Dr. George Oss. Perhaps some of you who listen to me today have heard Dr. Oss. He was a small man, but a dynamo in the pulpit and a dynamo in the classroom. Dr. Oss came to the United States. His father and mother lived in Brooklyn, and there they raised their son. A neighbor nearby noticed that the Osses were not going to church, and so he invited them to come to church. But he learned that Mr. Oss had a job that did not permit him to come to church on Sunday. He had to work. They invited his wife, but she wanted to wait until her husband could come. So then they said, "May we take your little boy to Sunday school with us?" And they took that little boy to Sunday school, and he learned about Jesus, and he went on into the youth program, and he was confronted by Christ, was awakened spiritually, and went on to become one of the greatest professors, in my day at least, in any of our Lutheran seminaries. No one has impressed me more than that man. God used no one more in my life on theological faculties than George Orse. And all of this happened because a person in that great Brooklyn congregation stood in front of father and mother and said, "May we take your son to Sunday school. Don't forget the children." Who are these children? They are the children in faraway lands. They are the children right around our churches who don't even know the name of Jesus. But can you imagine it? They are children in our churches, where you would least expect the need to remind parents and congregations to evangelize their children. Yeah, they're there. They're being raised in homes where they go to church with some regularity. They are church homes. But they really have never quite yet in their homes received a dynamic witness of who the Lord Jesus is. They have yet to have the parents give a verbal witness of their faith, of what Jesus Christ has really done for them. Perhaps they have seen lifestyles that were not always so pleasing. Maybe they lived there in a home where they got the idea that church attendance was good when everything else was taken care of. But when there were so many other things to do, we didn't go to church. Not so in the case of a man who now has gone to be with the Lord, but was a great person in our community and in our congregation. He decided, as his children were beginning to grow up, that it would be nice if they could have a summer home on a lake, probably 90 miles away from where we live. And so he went and bought a very modest cabin, and then he said to them, though he worked hard all week, "On Saturday noons, we will go to the lake, and then we will come home Sunday night." The reaction of the kids was kind of normal and natural. They said, "Oh, then we don't have to go to church on Sunday." "Oh, yes, we do," the father said. "The day that that camp takes away from our family going to church, we will sell the camp." So every Sunday morning, they stopped and went to church and worshiped God there by the lake. In other words, that father and that mother showed their children the importance of hearing the word of God. And as a result of that, those two children today are staunch members of the Christian faith. And even more than that, they are really committed in a deep way to the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, I imagine we have to tell it as it is. I was visiting one day with a young man who seldom or never goes to church, and I asked him, "Really, what turned you off? Was it something that I did or said that wasn't right?" "No," he said. "You know, I never could quite figure out what Christianity was all about. My father would never miss a Sunday in church, so help me. but it was seldom that we kids ever saw him sober after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Who are these children? They are children who are being raised in church homes, and you may be listening to me today, people. But you have yet to talk to your people about your children about Jesus. And sometimes the manner of your lifestyle is throwing them out of the kingdom. There's also a word here, really a word here, for our Christian congregations. Believe me, we need strong Sunday schools, and we need confirmation classes. It is interesting to see how sometimes people say, well, we want to have confirmation, but you got to be sure to make it fun. Attendance should be no option in the Christian home for a Sunday school or a confirmation class. We should be aware of what the children are learning and those who are teaching them. Youth programs should be concerned about content. And while facilities and programs are very important, we must realize that they are only means to an end. For the end is to relate that person with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're building a new church center in the congregation where I am. It's exciting to see. It's going to be a great facility. But I loved what our consultant told us when we went to find out more about having one of these gymnasiums and all the rest that goes with it. Don't build it unless you put a person on the staff who will work full-time with the young and the old who come to use it. Don't forget the children. In a day when our children are exposed to so many bad influences, the voice of our Lord speaks loudly to the church and to the Christian homes of America. Don't forget to evangelize your children. Amen. Father in heaven, in this Lenten season, speak to us from the cross and remind us that the Lord Jesus has suffered and died as a payment for our sins. These are days where we should really give an account, O God, for our transgressions. Humble ourselves beneath that cross and help us to understand that only in Christ is there salvation. Grant, O God, that in this Lenten season there may be a spiritual awakening in our churches and in our land. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support, allowing us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the country and the world. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are pleased to make available to our listeners an exclusive CD or cassette, A Treasury of Reverend Larson's 20 Best Loved Hymns. This special collection features beloved classics, including The Church's One Foundation, Great is Thy Faithfulness, How Great Thou Art, A Mighty Fortress, and Beautiful Savior. Free with any donation made on our website, this exclusive offer is sure to be cherished for years to come. Our website address is ChristianCrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.